Because when I was younger, I used to have, like, the neighborhood at my house. Like, my house was...
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I was actually the same way.
Oh, all right. How old are you?
I'm 22. 22 years old.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. So, I am, like, way older than you. I'm 34. Right?
That's not bad.
Yeah, I was inviting people, like, this was before the internet, this was before online gaming and all that stuff, like, inviting the crew over to play GoldenEye, Smash Brothers, Ready to Rumble Boxing, like, Dreamcast, like, all of that stuff, like, you always had to go to somebody's house. So yeah. I used to have everybody at my house over the summer. And then, like, sometimes you'll have friends that's like, yo, my boy is in town, or, yo, I met this kid, like, yo, can he come through? And it's like, yeah, hell yeah, bro, let's get some Kool-Aid, let's play some video games, and let's chill. Mm-hmm. And that's how I kind of like to translate this. It's like, yo, you're in my house, we're chilling, and we're just talking about all kind of shit, bro.
I'm already feeling it, man. I'm already feeling that energy, bro. I'm already feeling it.
There we go, man. I like it. I like it. So, I mean, let's get right into it. So, I want to introduce Red F Manga. He is the creator, the artist, and the writer of Golden Mist Manga.
Yes, sir.
He has over, just on the first issue, I think it's over 150 readers, 150,000 readers.
Exactly. On the first 200,000. Yes, sir.
All right, there we go. Last time I checked, a minute ago, but it was like 150K, and I'm like, damn, that's nice numbers right there, bro.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, pleasure having you on, man. I see you doing your thing with your TikTok and everything. So let's get into it, man. Yo, tell us how you got into creating your own manga.
So, like, I've always kind of, ever since I was a kid, I've always wanted to go into this career. Ever since I read Naruto when I was a kid in my local, like, you know, library in my school, like, I've always just wanted to do comics, you know. So I first started off making Pokemon comics on, like, you know, a sketchbook and etc. You know, I always did this. I always did this in some sort of way. So I felt like making my own manga so I can inspire other people the same way these amazing creators like, you know, Akira Toriyama and etc. has inspired me or inspired me. So that's just like the natural progression of what I this art. My art evolution in general, if that makes sense, you know?
No, 100%, bro, 100%. Now, what's the difference? Because, I mean, most people who watch cartoons, comics, and stuff like that, like, they've always envisioned themselves like, yo, I want to create my own comic or creating characters and stuff. But right. There's a difference between, like, wanting to do it and then actually doing it. And this goes for anything, whether it's sports, music.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care being a lawyer, doctor, whatever it is. It's like you go to a point where it's like, yo, this shit is interesting when you're a kid to now when you're an adult, like mid-adult, whatever. And now it's like you're actually doing it, right?
Yeah.
Talk about like what kind of pushed you over that edge or pushed you over the fence to actually go out there and get it done.
Well, like, wow, that's actually a very, very good question. I'm not going to lie. I don't know. It's just like, I felt like I never really had to face, you know what, actually, you know what, the thing about it is, right, I always wanted to entertain, like, when I was younger, and I was telling you about how I liked, you know, making comics and stuff when I was younger, and etc., I always liked to show everybody around me, like, my friends, and, like, my family, and everything, and I felt like I really liked that feeling of showing my work to other people, and how they perceive that. It's always interesting to me, so I just felt like I wanted to do that. I genuinely wanted to do that with a wider audience. So, you know, I got on Instagram, started, making a comic. I actually made a comic before Golden Mist called Blaze Kaibo, right? And, you know, I was trying to test out the waters, see how I would actually do if I made a manga for real, you know? And it never really came out, you know? It probably the first chapter came out, et cetera. Because I was nervous, too. Like, it was my first time posting publicly something I genuinely cared about. And when I honestly got a wide reception and way more of an audience than I thought I would, I felt like I wanted to do this. I wanted to genuinely do this more. Is that answer your question?
No, yeah, that does, bro. Yo, it's so crazy how social media can literally take someone who is, you know, just like us. It's like, yo, we're never probably going to reach the level of being in like a production company or, you know, whatever it is. It's like, yo, let's do this shit on our own. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You could literally not go to college. You could literally just be self-taught. you know, there's a whole bunch of YouTube education that you can get on how to draw, how to write stories, all this shit. And it's like, yo, there's so many people that, you know, didn't go to school. I've met one person that actually went to school for this, or maybe two. Two people out of everybody that I've spoken to, interacted, that actually went to school for this.
Who? Crazy. I'm actually curious.
So Rodney Anderson Jr., who I just did an interview with, he was like, yo, I went to school. I actually went to school for comics, right? And he's he grew up in the 80s. So he's old. He's 10 years older than me. So I think he's like 20 years older than you, which is crazy, right? Mm-hmm. But he went to school for it. He's actually a teacher now, and he creates his own project. Pandio also, I believe he went to school. I don't know if he went to school specifically for like manga or comics or whatever, but I think he went to art school. He's also an art teacher, and he, you know, does it. But most other people is like, yo, I didn't go to college, or, you know, this is just something that I like to do. And you know, that's super dope. You mentioned Naruto before, because that's like one of the big ones now, especially with like the newer generation. It's like, yo, Naruto. Yeah. I feel like Naruto is like the NBA YoungBoy of anime.
Oh, no, you are not lying.
Absolutely is, bro. Much respect, much respect. Mm-hmm. What are you, original, like first, like original Naruto fan, or Shippuden, or Boruto? I already know Boruto's out.
Heck yeah, Boruto is 100% out. If I'm being honest, right, I actually started watching Naruto on Shippuden on like Jetix, on like, you know, like when I was watching TV back then, you know what I'm saying? And so when I got into Naruto Shippuden, I'm like, bro, I actually love this. I need more of this. So I, you know, I looked it up on my mom's computer at the time, and I watched the whole entire series, and I didn't even know there was a beginning. It was actually the same thing for Dragon Ball, like, you know, Dragon Ball before Dragon Ball Z, it was the same thing. So yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Now that you say that, I think that might have been the same thing for me. I think I saw Dragon Ball Z first before. Actually, I can't really tell. I think I saw Dragon Ball first. But that's nuts for me to even hear that, because I remember when I was in junior high school, and this was before Naruto was on Cartoon Network or whatever. It was already in Japan, but I was playing a lot of indie, like, online multiplayer games,
and
they were anime based, and one I was playing was Dragon Ball Z based, but like, you can kind of like create your character the way that they look, and a lot of people were creating Naruto looking characters in this Dragon Ball Z game. So like, I'm a Dragon Ball Z fan, I'm obviously playing a game, and I'm like, yo, who the hell is this nigga with a fucking gorge on his back? Or who the hell is this dude in green freaking tights? Like, what kind of shit is this? And like, I would see all these weird ass characters, and then my boy, Brandon Barnes, I gotta shoot out to Brandon Barnes, right? He was like, yo, Naruto is going to be massive here. He only had watched a couple of episodes, but like, he knew it was going to be fire. He was like, yo, it's massive in Japan. And I was just like, I was like, all right, cool. But I, like, you know, I kind of brushed it off. My brother was a little bit younger. My brother got on the Naruto wave like way before me.
Really?
So you know how the older people, they're always like stubborn when like new shit comes, like, you know, open.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so like Naruto dropped, and it was like, it was bubbling a little bit. But me, I'm still on like Yu Yu Hakusho, Dragon Ball Z, Cowboy Bebop, like Inuyasha, like all of that shit. And then Naruto started to get big. And then I remember seeing some of the characters, and I'm like, all right, time out, let me watch this. And I still remember the Chunin exams. That's when I fell in.
It's the most iconic art. You gotta be real, you know. Bro, you gotta be real.
Iconic. Once you get past like those initial episodes of like Naruto being a jokester, but like when you see, not even before the Chunin exams, I'm talking about when they first met Zabuza. When they first met Zabuza and Haku, and like Zabuza, it looked like he killed Kakashi, and then Kakashi used the substitution jutsu, but the water one,
bro, I was like, crazy, was like, bro.
Nuts. Yeah. And then when he caught Kakashi in the water prison, and then Naruto and Sasuke were getting busy, I was like, all right, this anime is like top notch.
I feel that 100%. I cannot lie, because when I rewatched it, I'm like, yep, the Zabuza arc as a whole is just one of the most iconic like beginning arcs of all anime. Like, that's just a fact. That's a fact. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, it was that. It was like some of the characters, like, it was kind of a little hood, if you ask me. Like, the way Kakashi would stand, it was like, mm-hmm. yo, this thing is, like, posted up on the block. Like, you know, he got that thing on him, and he ain't afraid of no one. Yeah. Same thing with Zabuza. Zabuza had the headband that was, like, slid to the side, kind of mm-hmm. looking like T.I. and Nelly at the same time.
Bro,
and it was like, yo, this anime, like, they got swag. Like, one thing is when you have a character,
mm-hmm.
and that character is badass, their right. presence has to be known. Like,
yeah,
there's just some anime characters that, you know, it's like they're a badass just the way they stand, mm-hmm. the way they talk, the way they carry themselves, and that's mm-hmm. important when it comes to storytelling.
Oh yeah, for sure. I definitely take these elements into my own manga, you know. Yeah, for sure.
That's dope, man. That's dope. So let's get back to let's get back to your manga, man. So
okay, yeah.
Golden Mist. This is the second project that you created. You said you had one before that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. All right, cool. How'd you come up with this idea? Is this like something that was influenced by your life, or is this something that was influenced by just like another form of media?
I would say it's a little bit of both, you know what I'm saying, right? I felt like at the time when I was done with Blaze Kaiba, I felt like my storytelling has improved drastically since I made that series. So I felt like I wanted to challenge myself, right? So that's why I made Golden Mist a time travel story, because I actually really do enjoy time travel stories like Erased, for example, Steins Gate, you know what I mean? Like, not even anime, just like actual, just genuine fiction in general, you know what I mean? I love storytelling, aspects that relate to time travel. So I wanted to implement that in. And not just that, but I felt like the characters in Golden Mist were actually inspired by other medias, one of them being Kung Fu Panda, which a lot of people actually already know before I even mention it. You know what I mean? So, like, yep. I felt like I did get it from a lot of other medias, but I did take it from my own life. Like, for example, Kai's backstory in Chapter 1, you know, it definitely related to my own life and other, you know, certain extents, especially his relationship with his grandpa. Yeah.
Okay. No, that's dope. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. I can see a lot of people write themselves into their stories. Now, here's the big question.
Right.
How do you create characters that you don't relate to?
Crazy enough, I use the people around me. Like, my friends around me that have different perspectives on things. Like, I will admit, actually, some of my characters are actually inspired by my friends. You know what I mean? Just because of their different ideals. Yeah, I genuinely, that's like an actual answer. Like, I'm so serious. That's like a genuine answer.
Do you tell them that? It's like, yo, I'm making this character. It's like, all right.
Yeah,
it's like, what if the character's like a bitch and you tell one of your boys? It's like, yo, this is you.
I'm not going to lie. This has happened before. This has actually happened before. I'm not going to hold you. It's 100% fact. Like, Raiden, I'm not going to say who he's inspired by, but he's definitely inspired by one of my friends. And he's always pissed off on how he acts in the manga. It's crazy. Yeah.
That is hilarious. That is hilarious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see that, because I'm telling this to everybody. It's like I'm writing my own, and I've asked this to...
You're making a manga?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, bro.
Early stages.
Bro, you got to tell me, bro. You got to tell me this later or something in this podcast. It don't matter. You have to tell me, bro. Yeah, bro.
I'll tell you. But I'm writing it. And one of the things that I asked Daniel DiCalvo, because he's an editor, mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, how do I not get into the hole of writing characters that are me? It's like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. Like, if I want to make the main character like me, like, all right, what if I want to make another character that is nothing like me? But then as I'm writing it, I'm writing in decisions that I would make. And it's mm-hmm. No, like, how do you stop yourself from doing that?
Yeah, man. I feel like it's a difficult thing that I have to actually deal with to this day. Within every chapter, I have to think about, because I have a lot of main characters, you know, because of the Golden Mist as a whole is like five people in it. You know what I'm saying? So I have to put different perspectives, different backstories. And because of their backstories, I have to explain their reasoning behind their actions just based on their character alone. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. It's actually difficult. And I feel like almost every creator, no matter how big or small you are, they have to deal with that. And it's a difficult thing. It's like, it's not easy.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you deal with having the label on calling it a manga? And the reason that I asked that question is because there's a massive difference. Like, even though they're pretty much the same, comics and manga, you know, Marvel, DC, and Shonen Jump, whatever you want to call it. But with manga characters, like, their stories are fleshed out so, so much more.
Right.
Whereas,
I
like,
agree.
You could watch a Justice League cartoon, like early cartoon, or maybe like a Batman Beyond. It's like, yeah, they have like a story, but it's pretty much, yo, this kid or this dude or this woman is just fighting crime, and then it's just like a new episode over and over and over again.
Yeah.
How do you feel with dealing on the weight of something being a manga, and there's a lot of projects that we watch, it's just so in depth with each character's storyline and arcs and all of that stuff?
Man, that's a good question, right?
Yeah, like, see, you wasn't expecting to be on here and get the top tier questions.
Hey, man, before I joined the podcast, I was thinking, man, what type of tricky question is this man gonna ask me, bro? I have to think about this, but no, I didn't think about that. You know what I mean?
That I'm always thinking about, that shit that everybody, I mean, has to think about, whether, you know, obviously if you're creating stuff, you definitely have to think about it, but that shit that even if I wasn't making a manga or making a comic, it's like, yo, how do we kind of differentiate the two? It's like, yo, when I'm watching something like Young Justice, it's like, of course, again, like, there is some sort of storyline and the characters do have, but like, something like Naruto, like, think about how in-depth Itachi's storyline was. From the beginning, we just knew Itachi as this dude slaughtered his whole family. Yeah. Sasuke wanted to shoot the fade, and he was on the bingo list. He was banned from the village. But as it went on, it was like, wait a minute, this guy Itachi actually ain't that bad. Like, remember in Shippuden when Naruto, Chiyo, Sakura, and Kakashi went toe-to-toe with Kisame, or was it Kisame, or was it just Itachi? And Itachi said something to Naruto there. This was in the beginning of Shippuden.
Yeah.
And we were just like, yo, this motherfucker Itachi is crazy. But then later on, it was like, yo, this guy Itachi really trusted Naruto to get Sasuke back to the good side.
He wasn't really fully bad guy, you know what I'm saying? It's just a nuance with his character, you know? It really is.
It's like 300 episodes, 400 episodes, and it's like just this story development.
Like, yeah, bro, it's crazy.
That shit in fucking, we wasn't getting that shit in the 90s from fucking like Justice League. It was like, yo, Green Lantern got issues. He's banging Hulk Girl, and they're fighting aliens, and that's it. Like,
bro, it's actually super interesting because you are actually 100% correct. Like, when it comes to, you know, like comics and et cetera, they are made by different creators, usually. Like, you know, the artist is usually different. The writer is usually different on each volume and et cetera. And I feel like that tarnishes their character to a certain extent because other people can write them differently than others, you know? And, like, there also at some points, like, you know, some Superman comics are actually really good, right? And they, like, focus on the dynamic of, you know, Superman being some godly figure that wants to live amongst men. But this character development that was within that specific volume or, you know, that volume series isn't going to be in the next one. It's like a complete start over. You know what I'm saying? And it kind of makes the character stagnant. And I feel like manga doesn't have to have that issue because it's made by one creator and made, you know, story-wise and art-wise and et cetera. You know, obviously assistance, but, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things that I see is being labeled as like the superhero fatigue, because now there's just so many different storylines and so many different free range shit that they can do with these movies. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's one of the issues that DC's running into. It's because,
oh,
like, yo,
for sure. It's like, have you seen what's going on in DC right now? Like, yo, come on, man.
We didn't got like three Jokers in the last, like 10 years. We just got accustomed to a Batman, Ben Affleck, but now he's out the door and we're getting another Batman. We're getting another Superman. We're getting a whole nother Justice League. And, you know, I understand the fans just like, oh, damn. Like, yo, we was just getting used to the Snyderverse and then we was just getting used to the new DCEU. And now the same thing with Marvel. It's like, yo, it's like they're doing all of this crazy shit. Like, there's like, we got Kang, but there's no like vision how there was with the first, you know, I think one or two or three phases of the MCU.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, shit is all. And this is like shit that I fucking think of, man. I'll be up like at 4 o'clock in the morning, like, damn, I wonder what the hell they're going to do with DC. And
I feel the same way. I gotta wake up. Yeah. I actually have to ask you a question. Have you seen the Snyder Cut for Justice League?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I didn't really like Snyder Cut films because I actually rewatched his film. No. Actually, I take it back. I like his films. I don't like his, you know, I don't like him directing DC movies, if that makes sense, because I rewatched his films and I'm like, I didn't really like it that much. But the Justice League movie, he did that a million times better than the original, a million times. And like, I feel bad because people are saying like, oh man, it's too long. Like, it's like, I think like 5 or 6 hours. Bro, it literally says part one, part two, and part three within the movie. Like, you can watch it like a show. It's not that serious. But I genuinely think that's when DC was actually getting on the right track. But then now, you know, they have to reboot it with The Flash, which I don't think that's a bad idea at all, because I'm extremely excited for the Blue Beetle movie. You know what I'm saying? And I actually, I think it needs a fresh do-over, but I am tired of it. Like, I'm genuinely tired of, like, the switcheroo stuff and et cetera, things being canceled. Like, bro, it's really bad, you know? It's really bad for DC right now.
Yeah, they gotta get it together. Hopefully James Gunn can do it. But, yeah. That's the challenges of being a producer, executive, and, you know, first and foremost, James Gunn is a freaking writer, and he's a fucking really good writer. But I feel like he's a good writer for all of that quirky, weird shit that you can get away with. Like, you can
Guardians
get away
of the
with
Galaxy.
Yeah, weird with the Guardians. But, you know, what's his Superman gonna be like?
I don't know, man. I was gonna say I'm scared, but I don't really know, bro. Like, I have faith in him, but I don't know. Well, I do have faith because I think, didn't he, what is it? Wasn't he the director for one of the Justice League? I'm not Justice League, Suicide Squad movies?
Yes.
If I'm correct.
But that's another thing. Suicide Squad is kind of weird. Like,
yeah, it is weird. It is weird.
Watch of all of these weird-ass characters that are fighting these weird-ass villains, doing this weird-ass shit. You know, so I that fits with James Gunn. But, like, a Superman, like, Superman is, like, cut clean. You know, I don't know. I'm interested to see what the hell he's gonna do, but we gotta wait like freaking 3 years for that. So
yeah, we definitely do. And I feel like, I think I have faith in him, especially because he's making a young, like a very, very young Superman. So I feel like maybe his his directorial decisions will probably, you know, make it to where the Superman movie might appeal to everybody. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I loved Peacemaker. I loved Suicide Squad. I'm going to give some faith to him, but he's not directing no Batman movie. That's for sure. Like, nah, that's for sure, bro. That is for sure, bro.
Yeah, we need Batman. I think he is directing it, right?
Uh-oh. No, I'm not going to like that, bro.
He's directing it or he's writing it or some shit, but I mean, I guess we'll see. We got time. We got nothing but time.
We do got time. Yeah. Things change, you know.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get back to that. What are you doing with TikTok, man? I see you kind of blowing up a little bit. You're doing some creative shit on TikTok. You know, talk about that. What are you doing? How many times you post a day? You know, what you got going on?
Well, yeah, like, I mean, I genuinely, in the beginning of the year, right, I didn't really take TikTok that seriously until I seen, I guess, what it did when I posted one of my first viral videos. They hit like, you know, I think like 64K or something views, and I'm like, bro, and it helped me a lot because it actually, you know, it boosted my following, etc. And I realized how much TikTok really is important marketing wise. So I really did want to tap into that this year. That was my New Year's resolution, for me to keep posting every single day. And I posted every single day, making videos, backups, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to be serious about this site, you know. And, you know, it's actually worked great. I even posted some of my TikToks on Instagram, and now I'm at 13K. Like, I feel like TikTok really does help find your audience, I guess. Find your niche, find your people. So I genuinely wanted to tap into that. So I just been locked in since. Yeah.
That's dope. So you're just posting one time a day?
Yeah, I post once, twice, you know what I'm saying? It's just like whenever I'm available, because, you know, I've been busy this year more than I ever been before. So I'm just kind of like trying to balance everything even now. But yeah, I try to post every day. Yeah.
All right. That's cool. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And how was your growth on Instagram? Like you say, you hit 13K. Where were you at before you were posting consistently on there?
1K.
Damn. Damn. And how many times a day were you posting on Instagram?
Like once a week. Yeah.
And now how many times are you posting on Instagram?
Still once a week.
So how'd you get to 13K?
It's just like, I have no idea. Maybe it's just like the algorithm was finally by my side or something. I just started posting stuff that I genuinely liked. And I get a lot of comments saying that to a certain extent, I feel like my videos are meant to motivate people that are in my position or my position at the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't really have that much people that believed in me and believed in my work. So I wanted to make other people believe in themselves, you know? So I wanted to make videos that motivated people to say, like, anybody can do manga. It doesn't matter who you are. So that's nice. Exactly what I did. That's what my videos are meant to be for. And, you know, of course, I advertise my series and et cetera. But, you know, it's just that image, I guess, that attracts people to my page. And now they're just following me on my journey at this point. So, yeah.
You got to plug your shit, bro. Plug that shit in. The best marketers are the ones that can tug on the heartstrings, get that emotion, get people to do shit, but while also promoting your shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I felt like it just like, yeah, I just really, I like doing this. I like doing that. You know, it really does make me happy to see other people message me things like, I started making my manga because of you and stuff like that. It means a lot. Because I didn't have that for myself, you know? It's really great. It's great to see, bro. Facebook? I am not on Facebook, but I do. I'm going to actually be on Facebook for sure.
Trust me. Get on Facebook, bro. Facebook is fucking generous. Generous with the growth and generous with the posts that you put up. I just had a post this weekend hit 1.3 million.
Whoa, that's insane.
My biggest fucking post ever. And it was slowly cooking, bro. It was like, I posted it and then it was like 1,000, like crazy. It's like any video that I post right now, first day is over at 1,000. First one that it was at 1,000 and then it started to cook and then it was at like 5,000. And I'm like, oh, all right, cool. I caught one. I was like, yo, I'm the best, man. And then that joint started to get to like 10,000. And I'm like, wait, hold up. Something's crazy. And I had another post, the post that I did about Ryan Reynolds. Mm-hmm. That one was also cooking too. I think that one's at like 13K. But then all of a sudden, that joint started to get to like 50K. And then 69K. And then that joint got to 100K. And I was like, yo, I'm lit. I actually sent it over to Lonzo at Concrete because I know he's active on Facebook. And I was like, bro, no, I didn't send it to him yet because I took a screenshot because I was already hyped. And I was like, yo, I'm on 100K. I was just on live on IG last week. And I was telling people, I was like, yo, get on Facebook. Like, for some reason, Mark Zuckerberg's like giving a finger to Instagram and like he wants to put that algorithm into Facebook because that's his baby. So yes, I'm like, sir. All right, you know, whatever we got to do, Mark.
So
you got to get on it. And then, and then remember, like, I posted this maybe like a week ago, like a week, maybe a week and a half, and it's just been bubbling. And right now it's at 1.3 million. And it ain't nothing.
Congratulations,
crazy.
Man.
Yeah, it's just me reacting to the Ed and Eddie whistle. And I'm like, holy shit. But now, like, everything that I've posted, like, from like, after that has, like, when I posted it automatically is at, like, 600, 800 views. And I'm like, oh, this is, like, lit. And then my followers have been creeping up. I was stuck on, like, 7 followers for a minute, but I wasn't taking it serious. I wasn't consistent. And then I got consistent. And now I'm at, like, 4 and change.
That's the key, bro. Consistency. Like, consistency for anybody, you know what I'm saying? As long as you're consistent with it, you can get discouraged, of course, but if you keep doing it, there's definitely going to be a reward for your hard work. I swear. So yeah, I 100% agree. And you deserve it, bro. I've been seeing you do this for a minute. I'm a big fan. So yeah.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. So now, when you created Golden Mist, were you with Shrine Comics at that same time, or they kind of picked you up after they saw your project and you were bubbling a little bit?
So, yeah, I did make Golden Mist Well, I guess Golden Mist was in the production phase at that time where Shrine became a thing and et cetera. And, you know, I was definitely looking at Shrine and stuff like that. But, you know, I wasn't fully into it. In fact, well, actually, I don't want to say that because, you know, things are going to be, that's kind of weird. But I would say, like, I definitely was eyeing a lot of companies. One of them was Post Manga and et cetera, right? And I felt like, you know, I genuinely was interested in Shrine Comics because of their, I guess, their motto and how they help creators and stuff. Like, we can do our manga within our own pace, right? So literally for Shrine Comics, the creators can post as many pages as they want a specific week. And, you know, that's just how it goes. You know, it's not really rushing you in, et cetera. And at that time, it really did appeal to me because, like, I can do things at my own pace. So, yeah, I definitely wanted to join Shrine. And so I had a buddy hit me up, you know, tell me he had connections to him because he was working with them at the time. And, you know, things just started from there. I talked to the creator and he sent me in pretty quick, you know? Yeah.
Nice. Nice. And is there a... Because I can only assume just based off of other industries, but is there a benefit working with, you know, like a Shrine Comics or like a Pulse Manga or just being like solo dolo? Like, is there, what's like the pros and cons?
So I guess like the pros and cons is, you know, I feel like for Shrine Comics, I would say the creator, Jin, right? He's a hard worker. He's an insanely hard worker. You know what I'm saying? He's making merch lines for us. You know, he's releasing volumes around this year. You know, we have our own series. Hold on, give me a sec. Yeah. We have our own, magazine, Shrine Entrance and et cetera, right? He's doing big moves. He's literally doing big moves. And I feel like because of that, I was attracted to Shrine Comics. And that's why I'm staying. I feel like that's a genuine pro for someone to work as hard as you are. You know what I'm saying? That is crazy. Don't put that in. Give me a sec.
I'm keeping that shit in, bro.
That's crazy.
Don't worry, man. This is the practice run for when like you get bigger, bro. It's like you gotta start investing into getting like your own broadcast setup, man. You got to get the mics, you got to get the, like, you got to get everything, bro, because then it's like, yo, when like a big major production, like they want to do an interview with you, it's like, yo,
I definitely got to get into this, like, this social media side of things, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just recently started showing my face and stuff. Like, I got to get used to this stuff. I got to get a ring light, you know. I got to get the setup, you know. I got to get the setup, bro.
Yeah, man, and at your own pace too. At your own pace, but it's like, you know, like you said, you got some shit going on. Yeah, I want to chat with the creator CEO of Shrine Comics. I saw his promo video where he had like all of the titles, and I just think that shit's dope, man. I like the people have the work ethic and the hustle.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely showing him this podcast, but no, for sure, I'll definitely tell you to hit him up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'll let him know to hit you up. My fault, but yeah. Definitely make things work, man.
It's all good, bro. It's all good. It's like all of these creators, man. It's like, yo, you guys are freaking taking over, bro. When I see Shrine Comics or you know, when I see Paul Saturday AM, it's literally like when I used to freaking go and get the Shonen Jump, like, thick-ass magazines. Mm-hmm. And I just used to go through it and read all of the manga out of order because, you know, I was never getting the actual magazines, like, in order on when they would come out. But it's dope, man. It's dope reading it like that. And just seeing it like that, like, when you held up the cover of it and just seeing all of those characters, they're all indie.
Yeah, that's bro. That's why. We're doing this thing, bro. I even got a poster right behind me. I would move my camera, but you already know what happened.
It's all good. It's all good, man. I mean, like, have you send me the PDF if you got it
or whatever. For sure.
That's dope. So we talked about you joining Shrine. We talked about like did you get really into the pros and cons? So you talked about the cons of going with Shrine and why you went with Shrine.
Yeah.
Do you see any pros with someone just going by themselves and being solo?
Like, you mean like the good side of it? Because I think I mentioned the good side. Yeah.
No, I mean like the pros of going by yourself. Like, not being with.
I'm not sure, right? Like, because that was me, you know. I did this thing myself. I got into it by myself, you know. I didn't even have no direction to where Golden Miss was going to be. I just wanted to post it, you know what I'm saying, somewhere. And so, yeah, I felt like the opportunity came to me and I didn't want to miss it. I guess, like, the cons, I would say, is just how things are going right now and how, like, this comic company in, like, era is kind of coming to an end, surprisingly, because, you know, manga creators, like, it's being a direct, like, entrance to, like, you know, for Western audiences to hit, you know, manga creators in Japan and et cetera. So I feel like this comic company thing is low-key coming to an end. But that's why I think Shrine shines, because they have big things that nobody else expects, you know what I'm saying, that's going to come this year, and it's really about to change the game. They're going to be carrying this, they're going to be carrying, bro.
You can't just like, yo, they got the biggest thing coming since sliced bread and not say what it
is. Oh, man, bro. I want to, bro.
What's coming? Bro, like, yo, let this be the exclusive. I'll clip this shit everywhere, bro. What's coming?
That's wild, bro. It's like, okay, so like, you know, we're having like, you know, we're in the talks about, you know, our series actually, you know, joining big companies in the future. Our volumes that are actually about to come out, in volume one that's coming out soon this year, is about to have, like, it's going to be in the best quality. Actually, it's going to have as good quality as, like, volumes within Viz. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're about to do some crazy things this year. You know what I'm saying? And we're about to reach mainstream more sooner than you think. Way sooner than you think. So, yeah.
All right. I like it, man. Yo, exclusive.
Yeah.
Competing with this. This.
Yeah, man.
I'm joking.
Viz. Oh, okay. Calm down, bro. Calm down.
I already got one copyright strike from.
Really?
I don't even want to talk about it, bro. I don't even want to say anything. I'm not even going to say any names, but I am definitely pissed. It's like, yo, I'm the smallest YouTube channel ever, and you guys are giving me a copyright strike.
Man, it's a shame, whatever. Bro. Yeah, man. That's crazy.
It's all good. Speaking of, so what do you do in your downtime, man? When you're tired creating, tired drawing, you know, what do you do to, you know, help Red F Manga kind of like clear his mind and just like chill and relax?
Well, I guess I just look at other medias, you know what I'm saying? Like watch shows like on my spare time, or, you know, hang out with my friends, you know? Like, I don't do it often, but carry on.
What are we watching right now?
Bro, I'm watching a series called Barry, and it's about a hitman that... Have you heard of Barry?
It's on HBO Max, right?
Yeah, best show.
I haven't watched it, but I've been seeing the commercials. I'm like, yo, I need to check this shit out.
Need to watch it. It's actually my favorite show. Like it's my favorite show right now, bro. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm already caught up, and it's just insane. Like, the premise is that a hitman that literally wants to get out of that life, you know what I'm saying? But he's already, like, you know, real deep into it. He wants to get out because of a girl he met that's actually into acting, so he does the same. And so he wants to become an actor and pursue that career with her. But, you know, his past just keeps coming back to him. And it's just like, you know, how can you really handle that? And it's actually insane. It's such a good character study. Like, it's actually interesting, bro. Like, I genuinely wish anybody watched this. I swear to God, it's insane, bro. It's crazy.
HBO Max putting out the fire, bro.
Yes, man. They really on the come up.
The Last of Us was amazing.
Amazing, yes.
One thing that I'll say is, like, me watching it, like, when you're playing a game, like, I don't know if you played the game.
Of course, yeah.
All right, so when you're playing a game, I feel like it's different than me watching it. So, like, the last episode, I watched Joel murk everybody in that hospital. And I'm like, yo, you kind of tripping, bro. It's
bro, that man was tweaking.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, this girl got the key to solving the whole world's problems.
Right.
And you're just going in there murking everybody. But I was like, yo, I did that same shit in the video game. I had no problem with it whatsoever. But
yeah,
it's just weird playing something and then watching it and it being so well done and so true to the game. I guess most video game adaptations aren't done so well. So,
oh yeah, for sure. Have you seen the Halo? The Halo adaptation with Master Chief? Trash, bro. Awful. Trash. Dreadful.
Once he took his helmet off, I was like, this show is over.
No,
and then
bro,
it had him ass naked. I was like, all right, this
oh. yeah. Bro, it was a dark. We had a dark times with the live actions back then, bro. I swear, like it was
Canceled
not
my
looking
Paramount
good.
subscription so
Yeah,
fast. I was like, get
as
this
you
shit
should,
out of
man.
here.
As you should.
Yeah. All the Resident Evil, like I've been dealing with terrible video game adaptations for my entire life. Like, oh yeah, you're 22 years old. You wasn't around for the Street Fighter movies and the Mortal Kombat movies.
Oh man, I really wasn't, but I was actually planning on
Yeah.
rewatching it. No, I
You
wasn't
know,
though.
what's the name of that movie that just won Mad Grammys? Everything is
Everything,
here.
Everywhere, All at Once.
Yes. So you know the main actress in there?
Yeah.
When she was younger, she was Chun-Li.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
What the heck?
She's been getting busy for a minute, bro. She was Chun-Li. I was just watching an old episode of SVU from like the 90s. She was in it. Like, yeah,
Right.
she's been getting busy for a minute, but yeah, she was Chun-Li.
I didn't know that at all, actually. No, I mean, that actually kind of makes me want to watch the movie even more, in fact. So, yeah, I think I'm going to check that out for sure. Have you seen the
Yeah,
Mario movie, the old Mario
bro.
movie?
Of course, bro. You ain't
Yeah.
asking me if
I'm
of
sorry.
course I watched the old. I watched the old Mario movie mad times. Made no
Yeah.
sense. Was not Mario at all. But
No,
we
man.
loved that movie for some reason.
It was charming, man. I watched it like a couple of times where I really liked that movie. Like, I feel like it's just a charm of how goofy it was. Like, it's like it's so
Yeah.
bad that it's good, you know?
Yoshi was fucked up. Bowser was
Nah,
like, yo,
bro.
you're not even Bowser. It's like, who the
Nah,
hell is this
bro.
guy?
I am.
Mario and Luigi were grown ass men. Yeah, it was a wild, wild movie. Wild
For
take
sure.
on fucking whatever. I don't even know what the hell that shit was.
No, that was
But
crazy.
yeah,
The
man, we've been
Goombas looked
suffering.
insane. The Goombas, that's
Goombas
a cursed image right there, bro. Have you seen that? That's a cursed image right there.
was insane,
Yeah,
weird.
man.
But like, yo, we love that shit, man, back in the
Yeah,
day.
bro, for sure. Yeah, we
Yeah,
definitely
man.
did, man. I mean, I'm acting like I
Food.
was like you, but no, bro. I was definitely watching that, bro.
Yeah, man, that shit was crazy. What else? I mean, there's been so many video game movies that were just like our they did Doom with what's his face? The Rock.
Oh yeah. Have you seen a new Mario movie?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I do want to see it. I'm probably gonna go see it this week. I don't have work on Thursday or Friday, but I need to see that movie. I
You need
wanted to
to.
see it from the trailer. Obviously, the voiceovers and shit like that were,
Yeah,
whatever.
Chris Pratt,
Know,
man,
because
I can't lie.
they gotta fucking sell it, yo. It's like you gotta have big names that are doing the voice. Like the nigga that does Mario voice in the video game, he's still around. Like he's still alive, kicking butt. Like I know they're working on Mario Galaxy 4 with his voice. It was like they could have
Yeah.
easily had him do the voice, but it was like, yo, Chris Pratt's gonna bring in numbers.
I'm not gonna lie. I actually watched the movie. Everything you're saying is true, and I kid you not, the original voice actor is in that movie for sure.
Oh,
I
he
feel
is?
no, I'm gonna say this, bro. Surprisingly, it's an actual really good movie. Like it's a genuine good adaptation. I'm
It
so
had to be.
serious. It
It had
has
to
no
be.
choice but to be, but it's way better than I actually thought. 'Cause I kid you not, man. I remember I watched it a few days ago. It was storming, like it was terrible. Like I barely wanted to even watch this movie myself. But like, I'm not gonna lie, I came out of the movie saying it was worth it. That movie was really good. I actually think it's a genuine good. Let me say this, right? So you've seen the Sonic movies, right?
Yes, I saw the first one. I didn't see the second one.
That's fine, that's fine. So you already know, like, that's Sonic, right? We all know it's Sonic, but it's not our Sonic. You know what I'm saying? It's not the Sonic we grew up with. But I feel like this Mario movie is the opposite. This is the Mario becoming the Mario that we have always, seen in our childhood. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's a genuine good adaptation. I'm just hyping it up though, but I'm serious. Like, it's actually crazy.
I mean, I was already sold on it, but like you just
Yeah.
sold me even more. So, all right, cool. Now I'm down. I'm down. Yeah, you know what? This has to open the door. I mean, Mario is like Mario has surpassed Mickey Mouse, which is crazy. Like again, I can't envision being like 22 now. Like I'm 30. So like when I was younger, it was Mickey Mouse. Like Mickey Mouse was like the big thing. But then
For
as like
sure.
Nintendo started to build, it was like, all right, cool. Like Mickey Mouse didn't really have, like, Mickey Mouse had a bunch of games, but it was like the face of Nintendo is Mario, and the face of PlayStation was Tomb Raider, Solid Snake, Crash Bandicoot, and the face of Dreamcast was like Half Butt Naked Woman and Virtual Fighter. Like, you know, it was all of that shit. Like, Mickey Mouse was like the massive, oh, you're going to Disney World and all this shit. Mickey Mouse is still massive, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm,
for sure, but
Super Mario internationally today definitely is big time compared to Mickey Mouse.
For sure. And you're not lying. Crazy enough, like, the reason why I wasn't even hyped to see this Mario movie is because, like, I felt like Mario wasn't, like, something like, he was iconic, of course, right? But he wasn't no Sonic. I felt like he was more of an icon, like Mickey, you know, Mickey Mouse, you know, and et cetera. So I really didn't think I would actually be as interested to see him as a character because I just always seen him as that. But no, I was proven wrong, bro. Like, it's actually insane. I actually am a Mario fan now. Like, I'm a genuine Mario fan now. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah, bro. I just talked about it with Ronnie. I was like, yo, that Mario 64, bro. When that Mario 64 hit, that's when, like, shit changed for Mario, bro. Like, Mario started to become a freaking legend in the game.
For sure.
And I see what you're talking about Sonic. Like, so I feel like Sonic has been the, like, redheaded stepchild to Super Mario. Like, now it's like Sonic has been, like, adopted into the Nintendo world, and Sonic and Mario Olympics and all of this shit. I wonder what's the next thing. You know what they need to do?
What?
They need to make another Pokemon movie. But no, another Pokemon movie, no gimmicks, no, it's like, yo, it's just like Pokemon Trainer Adventure battling. No Detective Pikachu, none of that shit. It's like find a way to be creative, like Super Mario. What does Super Mario do? Super Mario rescues Peach, or Super Mario fights Bowser, or Super Mario it has a conflict with Donkey Kong. Like, that's what Super Mario is. They didn't do like Super Mario and, you know, I don't know, whatever BS that they try to spin. But, you know, same thing with like Sonic. Like, even though Sonic was kind of like, Sonic's gimmick was, oh, let's bring Sonic into the real world. That was the kind of gimmick. Like, they could kind of do a 3D movie just with Sonic, his crew, and spin it that way. But, you know, I see where they went with it. It still worked.
Yeah.
But I would like to see that for Pokemon. What do you think?
No, 100%. Like, I really do like Detective Pikachu, so it's definitely possible. It's 100% possible. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I would want to see it without the detective work. Like, it was good. I love Detective Pikachu, but I feel like its own, like, you know, its own film, you know, gym battles and et cetera, like him doing the league, like, bro, it would be, man, it would go crazy, in fact. Like, I feel like it would just be one of the best adaptations possible if they just gave it a shot. But, you know, it's still that stigma of live actions, bro. People are afraid of, bro. Yeah, I don't want to be let down, man. Like,
I mean, yo, I mean, all right, so Detective Pikachu, like, you could still blend it between, like, real and then CGI and shit like that, but, you know, just make it freaking dope. Like, make it to where it's like borderline serious, but not so serious to where the kids don't want to watch it. And you got fucking gold right there.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. That would be dope. You playing any video games right now?
I am playing Wulong. I'm playing Wulong. Have you heard of that game?
No. What the hell is that?
Wulong is like a Dark Souls influenced game, right? And it's based in, like, you know, the area is like fantasy China and stuff like that. And it's kind of like has a, you know, Monster Hunter elements where it's like you got to defeat like Onis and stuff. It's a really good game. I'm playing it with my friend right now. Yeah.
Is that on console or?
Yeah, it's PC. On all platforms. It's on all platforms, bro. It's insanely. Yeah, I like low-key games, you know what I'm saying? I like low-key games, you know, and I think those are one of them. It's hard. Like, it's actually one of the hardest games I've ever played. And like, me and my friend are playing it right now, and like, we're still not through it, and it's been 4 days, so. Yeah, I like games like that, surprisingly. Yeah. When we win.
My first Dark Souls type of game was Elden Ring.
I didn't beat Elden Ring, but yeah, I 100% get it, too. I have Elden Ring, bro.
Hardest game that I have played in a
minute. Yeah,
in a freaking minute. Oh, I knew, like, when as soon as I got out of, like, that first, like, training area, and I saw the first, Elder Tree Sentinel, and he waxed me in, like, two hits. I was like, yo, you doing this, like, right in the game? Like, you're not used to having bosses that strong in the beginning of the game. And then everything after that is like, oh, like, I actually got to, like, I thought I was just going to, like, sit back and, like, play this shit.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was like, oh, nah, I got to, like, actually pay attention. So then, and again, this was my first time playing a Souls game. So I was like, all right, you know, let me start to watch. So I went on, I watched YouTube videos. I'm like, oh, this is like real deal, like gaming video game. Like, you just can't play this as a casual.
Nah, man. Incredible. You played it alone?
Yeah, I mean, you a different breed.
You a different breed for that, man. I had to get a buddy. I could not play that game myself, bro. It's too hard.
Yeah, bro. I played that joint all by myself. Yeah, I didn't play multiplayer once. I wanted to, but the way, I guess, like, they have their multiplayer set up, like, there's so many contingencies.
Oh, and man.
When I play MMOs, it's like, yo, you party up, and, like, if you're around the same level, like, you go on quest and you get busy, and that's it. There's no, like, you can only go in a certain area and all this shit. It's like,
nah, it's ridiculous, bro. You have to get, like, specific, like, I think, like, a specific item, and you have to get as much as possible just to invite someone online. Like, it's a whole thing. Like,
yeah, they it's annoying. It's like, yo, yeah, don't make me pay $90 for this game, and then I can't play with my friends. Like,
that's what I'm saying, bro. It's crazy, man.
Nuts, man. But yeah, that's an incredible game. Right now, I'm playing Resident Evil 4 Remake, which.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna see, bro. Is it good?
Amazing. I'm a Resident Evil fan. I haven't played every single Resident Evil, but I've played the main titles 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And then there's like a couple of side ones that I've like toyed around with, but I've played all the main ones, and then I've played all the remakes as well. Resident Evil 2 Remake is without a doubt probably one of my favorite and probably one of the best zombie games ever. I'm gonna put that and Left 4 Dead like toss up, because Left 4 Dead is multiplayer and Resident Evil 2 Remake isn't, but Resident Evil 4 Remake is like right there. It's amazing. It's an amazing game.
I'm thinking about getting the game. In fact, like, I want to be saying some good things about it, so yeah, I'm gonna give it a shot for sure. I'm just like, man, I'm not a fan of scary games. Like, I can watch people play it, but I'm not that guy, bro. I'm really not that guy.
Yeah, it depends. It depends. Mm-hmm. Like, Outlast and all that shit, like, I can't play that shit.
Outlast, that's dead. And, like, Outlast 2, nope, not even a little bit. Couldn't even touch it, man. Could not touch it.
Mm-hmm. Yo, some people could say Dark Souls is kind of horror-esque. The way those games are set up.
Nah,
like, there was some times where I was walking around and it was like, yo, I can't do this shit.
Nah, I feel that 100%. Like, nah, it's just, I don't know, bro. I'm not scared of it. So, you know, I'll eventually try to, you know, beat it. Nah, scary games, that's my weakness. That's my kryptonite. Heck no. Nah, man, I'm not like that.
Yeah, I get you on that. I get you on that aspect. is there any, I'll ask this last question and then we'll kind of, wrap up, and then we'll save like the next section for Patreon. Is there any indie creators that you look at right now that inspire you or that motivate you?
I have them quite a bit. You know what I'm saying? I have my good friend Inupin. Yeah, he's a creator. He's an artist for Just a Goblin in Cave King and Shrine Comics.
Shout out to Inupen, even though we were supposed to have an interview and he ghosted me, but shout out to Inupen.
He's a busy man. What was I gonna say? All the people within my company, Struggle the Artist, you know. He's also a good friend of mine. He's a creator of From the Forgotten, you know. And yeah, I have other creators, but you know.
I put you on the spot.
Oh, wait, wait a second. Hold on. I got some, right? I got some, like, Michael Madlock, the creator of, upcoming series called ZZ Maru. I have my friend Michael. He's a TikTok exclusive, but, like, he's another guy named Michael, my fault, bro. But he makes, Boy Ever Scrimmy, you know, like, yeah. I have a lot of people that I genuinely
I never heard of any of these shits, by the way. So that's good. That's good. I love when I didn't hear of a specific project and I'm like, holy shit, like this shit is big. That just tells me like, all right, cool. I need to get out of the bubble of the shit that I see consistently. And it's like, I want to see more shit. I want to interact with more. I want to, you know, just be like more diverse with the stories that I read.
Right. Yeah. I definitely like, bro, I respect these people and they're my friends. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I genuinely do look up to them. I want to see them like grow as much as I am, you know? Yeah.
Dope. All right. I got to check out some of these profiles, man. I got to see if they're B- TV certified. It's like,
you know, yeah,
you know, all that stuff. But nah, cool, man. Yo, Red F Manga, bro. Appreciate you taking the time out to be a guest, to just chop it up. Man. You know, just talk a little bit about your work ethic and what you do on Patreon. We'll kind of dig a little bit deeper into just like the art process and the story creating and all that shit.
Right.
Again, you know, appreciate you guys. Make sure that you sub the YouTube channel, sub and follow Red F Manga on all of his platforms. Obviously, read his freaking project. It's super dope.
Yeah.
I did a review on it back in the day. And sub the Patreon, and I will see you guys later. All right? Deuces.